Today on Real Radio.
He said, if you abide in me, that is, if you live your life in me and my word is living in you, you can ask whatever you will and it's going to happen. You say, man, I want a Ferrari. That's not how it works. He said, if you abide in him and his word abides in you, if his word is in you, you're not going to be caring if you have a Ferrari or not. And that's the most exciting. I tell you, when you pray that prayer, you need to put on a parachute and a helmet. Because, baby, it's going to get exciting.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in chapter 6, taking a look at verses 43 through 45. It's a section where the Messiah uses an agriculture analogy to explain how we think and speak. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Trees, Treasures, and Talk.
What fruit is coming out of me is me. Doesn't that sound funny? I know that grammatically kind of weird, but the fruit that's coming out of me, guess what? It is me. If I'm standing here right now, and at the end of the day, an orange is right here. I can't deny it's an orange. It is an orange. You can come up and smell it. It smells like an orange. And you can bite it. You can even make orange juice out of it. Guess what? It is an orange. I could tell you, but I'm an apple. I want to be an apple tree. Really bad. If I'm producing oranges at the end of the day, guess what I am? I'm an orange tree. But as a Christian, if the Spirit of God is working in my life, at the end of the day, there's going to be things that speak about Jesus at the end of my life, at the end of my day. And it's true about your life. It's true about my life. What I say doesn't matter. What comes out at the end of the day, that's the reality. I can say anything I want, but does the evidence back it up? What is coming out of my life by way of fruit? It is me. Verse 44 says, every tree is known by its own fruit. It's almost like that tree's got eyeballs, and it looks right there and says, well, there's an avocado. I guess I'm an avocado tree. Yes, that's right. But what's coming out of my life? It speaks about who I really am, and there's no getting away from it. Are you a blessing to people? Do other people love to see you coming? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do people shut their shades and lock their door when you pull up? Wherever you go, are you the bummer? Are you the bad-mouthed one? Are you the ill-temper? Are you the angry one? Are you the one that is going to church on Sunday, but you're anything but for the rest of the week? Then you're not real. You may be all dressed up, but what is coming out of you is completely different. It's very serious. Thirdly, what I'm producing for others is something that's coming out of my life that produces life. Does it produce life? Is it something that will reproduce in life? Should I be like you? Should you be like me? Together, should we have the evidence that we are Christians following Christ? See, the beautiful thing, no matter how big this church ever gets, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will be flowing and growing together. And there's no way around it. It's just the natural result of the supernatural work of God. And so, is what's going on in my life and in your life something that's reproducible in life? Do we even want it reproduced? Note this. Jesus said, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. That's a very, very strong statement. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says that we, as believers, may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the life of the Christian. Can you and I say that in the next 6 months, church, listen, are you listening? In the next 6 months, will you and I be able to say from today, we have grown more in our knowledge of God? And we now, listen, yes, we'll be able to say it, I trust and pray, but in absolute unison with that statement is the proof, the fruit, that my life has borne fruit these next 6 months. Here's the challenge. God is desiring for your life and mine, for us in the next 6 months, to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We don't have to do that other than be in the Word of God and sow to the things of the Spirit. God will do the rest. Listen, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the work of the Spirit. You got that? God produces it. It's like those orange trees that are outside the windows of this church. Those orange trees are in the ground. They're not groaning, they're not moaning, they're not complaining. They're an orange tree, and in time, they're going to have those wonderful blossoms that smell so good that tell us what? Oranges should be on the way, right? Man, I grew up in Orange County. We used to ride our bikes down through orange groves. That was such a strong, beautiful aroma of those orange trees. What did it promise? Fruit's on the way. We're just like that. It's the same way. Point number two in our study, trees and treasures and talk. Now we talk about treasures. Treasures. And the question comes in verse 45, what am I giving toward others? What am I giving toward others? Verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. Number one, jot this down. What are those good things that you can have from my life? There should be good things. The word here for treasure in the Greek is a great word. It means things deposited. I like that. See, it's funny. You don't make a deposit of anything that's junky. You throw it away. You only deposit things that are important to you. There's a safe deposit box. What do you put in it? Your laundry? No. Things that are precious to you. You go to the bank. What do you deposit in the bank? You make a deposit of something that's valuable. You put something that is important in a box. By the way, the value of what's important in the box makes it a treasure chest. You can take Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland. You can go all the way through that ride and come around where all that treasure is. Remember when you were little kids, that mountain of gold? When you were little, you thought, oh my goodness, if I could just... It's plastic. But there's that huge treasure chest. If you open it up, what's inside? Nothing. See, God would open up, as it were, your life and mine right now. Imagine for a moment if God freezed the sanctuary, and we were all suspended for a moment, and the glory of God began to shine about, and our hearts, whatever is the treasure of our lives, is set in front of us. It's just right there for everyone to see, including God. Listen, God sees those treasures right now. But listen, the treasure in my heart and in your heart, when I live my life and you live your life together in and among us, in a community, in a church, together. Listen, inevitably, in time, what's in comes out. You might say, well, that's why I don't get involved. I don't want anybody to know what's in. It's going to come out anyway. It's a law of God. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's going to happen. So here's the great thing. See, you know, you and I are not destined to destruction on this. We just need, if we're sowing to the wrong stuff, we need to back up right now and change to what we're sowing to. Start investing in the things that are godly. Last service, first service, there was a brother that came up to me and he said, and he's been coming here for a long time, I want to tell you something scary happened to me. What happened? He was goofing around with a lottery ticket. Oh, yeah? And I won $3 million. And I said, man, I'm going to pray for you. You're in deep trouble. That's exactly what I said. I said, you're in deep trouble. What? I said, now you're responsible to God for $3 million. I would not want that job. You say, "Whoa, oh man, I would do this and I would do that." That's the problem. It's God's money. Everything is God's. It's His. What are you going to do with it? You can either make it a treasure for righteousness, or you can make it a treasure that's absolutely destructive. What are you going to do? You say, "Boy, yeah, that's right, Pastor. You tell that guy. Yeah, you let him have it. That's some good. Yeah, that's good. You tell him that." Wait a minute. It's true about me and it's true about you. What? I don't have 3 million bucks. No, but you have hands and feet and a mouth and a body and life and a dollar. It's all the Lord's. Is it being used for His glory? That makes it a treasure. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure, that is the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency may and the power may be of God and not of us." That's beautiful. Also, verse 45, we learn this. Is what's in my treasure chest, is it something that should be avoided then? Wow. He says in verse 45, Jesus is speaking. Notice how politically correct he is. I'm joking. "And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil." He just says it. Can you imagine today if somebody said, "Yes, I believe the evil that's done in this world is done by evil men because their hearts are evil." That person would be sued by the ACLU in a flash. Think about that. Jesus says it like it is. Evil comes from evil hearts, from evil people. Strong statement, absolutely factual. God Himself is saying it. What do we do with it? How do we reckon this? Understand this, that when we look at things that would bring about evil, if we sow to those things, invest in those things, take in those things, and listen, it doesn't even have to be necessarily, quote, evil. It could be something that is absolutely worthless, like trying to bite into cotton candy for nutritional value. There ain't nothing there. Did you read your Bible? "No, I didn't read my Bible, but I've read these magazines today." Well, okay. Did you pray to the Lord at all? Did you ask God's direction for your life today? "Well, I thank them for my breakfast." You're going to get in trouble this way. It doesn't have to be grossly evil. It can be just neglectful. Jesus is warning, whatever is being deposited in our hearts, it's going to come out. And no one judges, by the way, the treasure chest or the leaves about what kind of fruit or treasures inside the box are hanging on the tree. It's important that we understand that. As a Christian, I want to encourage all of you this morning. In John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus said, "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." He goes on to say in verse 5, John 15, 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Isn't that encouraging? I'm blessed by that. Man, all I need to do to produce fruit is hang out with Jesus. John 15, 7. Listen to this. Everyone's going to want to write this verse down after I say it, so listen to it. "If you abide in me," Jesus said, "and my word abides in you, you may ask what you desire, and it shall be done unto you." So what? Wait, what was that verse? He said, "If you abide in me," that is, if you live your life in me, "and my word is living in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it's going to happen." You say, "Man, I want a Ferrari." That's not how it works. He said, "If you abide in him, and his word abides in you." If his word is in you, you're not going to be caring if you have a Ferrari or not. Okay, it doesn't matter. You won't be asking stupid things like that. "Oh man, it doesn't matter." If his word is in you and you're in him, you're going to say things like this: "Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it." And that's the most exciting. I tell you, when you pray that prayer, you need to put on a parachute and a helmet. Because, baby, it's going to get exciting. It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. Third point this morning, trees and treasures and talk. What am I saying about others? Verse 45. What am I saying about others? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Wow, if I'm a good tree, good stuff's going to come out. If I'm a bad tree, bad stuff's going to come out. If I'm a treasure chest and I've got nothing in it, nothing comes out. If I'm a treasure chest with something in it that's good, good's going to come out. It's pretty simple, pretty clear. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's pretty terrifying. What's in your heart? We know what's in your heart. What's in my heart? You know what's in my heart. It comes out. Now, let's be honest. Hit the road. I mean, don't go anywhere. I'm just saying, rubber hitting the road. Here it is. Don't you respect people, Christian brothers and sisters, who are real, rather than those who are somebody in front of you and then they're different away from you? I got to tell you right now, I have been, Lisa and I both have been tricked by people who are something in front of us and different. And we find out later from the populace, from the neighborhood, this person, that, this person, I don't, you what? I don't know them like that. Oh, this person, that, this person, this. We were tricked. I would rather be with you and you with me, and we're the same people, in and out of church, in and out of the pulpit. That's Christianity. Real. And that doesn't mean that it's a justification for carnality. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about you and I striving, disciplining in our lives, following after God, serving one another, serving the community, serving the world, going for it for God. And look, just along the way, when you and I are witnessing, you and I could be, in fact, in a couple of weeks, a bunch of us are going to be preaching Jesus on the streets of Russia. And you know what? We're going to be jet-lagged, we're going to be tired, we're going to be thirsty, we're going to be hot. And what is real Christianity? Like this? Watch. Is this it? 24/7? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What's that? You just slapped me or cussed me out or threw rocks at me? That's not real. Reality is you duck and you say, let's get out of here. But people are afraid to be, as a Christian, real among one another because, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there is such little grace extended one toward another to allow each other to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And it's false. Again, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying, well, you know, none of us are perfect, so let's just forget about it. Not at all. What I'm saying is reality as a believer is this. That like Peter, when he denied Jesus, it's recorded in the Bible, he repented with weeping. When you see and when you're laboring with a brother or sister for the cause of Christ, that's where, like David's mighty men of valor are born. When we're living together, sharing together, serving together, imagine for a moment this whole area, for whatever reasons, knocked down, earthquake, terrorism, I don't know, but imagine that we'd have to live together. We have no homes, we have nothing, we have to be together. Imagine. You're going to find out the depth and the level of each other's Christianity really fast. Can I have some water? That's my water. You're gonna have to get along and work it out. What do I say? What am I saying about others tells about me. You say, what? Yeah, this way, very quickly, we'll be done. What I'm saying about other people, what's coming out of my mouth, out of the abundance of my heart, it speaks about who I am. You want to know me? How do I talk about others? You want to know me? How do I talk about this church or you? Does somebody want to know you? Well, how do you talk about others? That's who you are. Do you say you're loving, but in reality, your mouth is destroying people? Then don't say you're loving, because you're not. Think about it. The best way for me to find out who I really am is to ask myself, what am I saying about you? look, I hate to shock you, but this translates even over into relatives. Christianity is even powerful when it comes to relatives. What you think about Uncle John or, you know, Aunt Susie, and what you say, hey, you're a Christian, Jesus is there too. It's out of the heart the mouth speaks. Isn't that kind of terrifying? No wonder why in the Psalms, the psalmist cries out and says, God, put a gate on my mouth. Better than that, Lord, change my heart. And that's what he does. It speaks about me out of the abundance of my heart. Then thirdly, finally, we'll be done with this. What am I saying about others? What am I saying about others tells about the Lord. Meaning this, about the Lord in my life. Is God really big in my life? Listen, do I have what the Bible says is the fear of the Lord in my life? He's your God. He's not your buddy. And I know Tommy Lasorda said he's the big dodger in the sky. He is not the big dodger in the sky. Yankee, something, anything but a dodger. So, now listen, focus. It is absolutely essential that we have a healthy view of God. When the scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it's that fear of the Lord, a healthy respect, that causes me to tiptoe around this life a little more carefully. That when I see the guy at the end of the ramp of the freeway with, I'm homeless, I want food, I know what you're thinking right now. But maybe, just maybe, who knows, but maybe God literally knew that that guy would be standing there the moment I, the Christian, would come down the ramp. Yeah, but the guy's a bum. You don't know that. I don't know that. Only God knows. But this we know. You and I are there at the stop sign, and he's right there with his little sign. Do we at least pray for him? At the very least, we could pray for him. We could roll down the window and say, I'll pray for you. If you have something, give it to him. If you don't have anything, just say, I'll pray for you. But how do you know that's not a divine appointment? We don't know who that guy is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Trees, Treasures, and Talk, taken from the New Testament account written by Luke, chapter 6, and verses 43 through 45. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, last week, in commemoration of Passion Week, as we call it, we brought to you Pastor Jack's presentation called When Hope Arrives. It's quite the appropriate message for non-believers, as Pastor Jack was in true evangelistic form, talking about the suffering, the death, the atonement, and the resurrection of the divine Messiah, Jesus. Well, we're still making that available for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. It's available on DVD. Just ask for When Hope Arrives. When Hope Arrives. There's more than one way to get in touch. You can call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. It's a toll-free number. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.